the executive gravy train, FTSE 100 bosses have already earned more in three working days than the average full-time worker will take home this entire year. We'll discuss what this means for pay inequality. Welcome. You're with Business Today in London. I'm Sally Bundock. So we start with the latest market reaction to the US intervention in Venezuela. The share price of US oil companies rose sharply on Monday following the events in Caracas over the weekend. The US Energy Secretary Chris Wright is expected to meet with oil industry representatives later this week to brief them on the developments in Venezuela. President Trump has insisted that they'll be allowed back into the country to rehabilitate and exploit its vast oil reserves. Here's more from Michelle Fleury in New York.
Let's talk about energy stocks, which moved sharply higher on Monday. Now, this follows comments from the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, on Sunday, who pointed to what he described as a unique American advantage, and that is the ability of U.S. refineries to process Venezuela's heavy crude oil. Much of that capacity sits along the U.S. Gulf Coast, where refineries are designed to handle thicker, more complex crude than the lighter oil that is produced by U.S. shale fields. That lifted shares in companies with significant Gulf Coast exposure. Valero rose around 9%, while Marathon saw its share price go up about 6%. President Trump has also said that reviving Venezuela's oil infrastructure after decades of underinvestment and restoring output would be central to his strategy, potentially directing that production towards U.S. interests. Now, U.S. oilfield service companies like SLB and Halliburton would likely both be key players in any reconstruction effort. So, not surprisingly, their share prices were also up around 8%, even though the price of oil itself actually only rose about 1%. For investors, the calculation is straightforward. If Venezuelan production does increase, the company is best equipped to process and service that oil, or they stand to gain.
Michelle Fleury there. Well, let's discuss in more detail the U.S. strategy to exploit the oil resources in Venezuela. Dr. Francisco Monaldi is director of the Latin American Energy Program at Rice University's Baker Institute for Public Policy. Welcome to BBC News.
Thank you.
So what is your take on the potential and also the desire on the part of U.S. oil companies who have, some of whom have been stung before in Venezuela?
Yes, so Venezuela used to produce much more oil than it produces today. It produced 3.4 million barrels of oil per day when Hugo Chavez came to power. Now it produces slightly less than a million barrels, but it could go back to even higher production than the previous peaks because it has massive resources. But the problems of Venezuela have always been about above ground risk, meaning political risk, regulatory risk. As you point out, there has been ton of reneging on oil contract. And I think that's the biggest challenge because it's unclear at this point if the conditions will align to have a stable political situation with the right institutions, the right contracts for companies to be confident to invest billions of dollars as is needed to go back to those levels of production.
Because, you know, going forward, I mean, President Trump is saying, you know, we're in charge at the moment, which, of course, the new president of Venezuela completely disputes. It's clear that Venezuela currently is trying to reestablish control and its future in the wake of what's happened over the weekend. I mean, as far as U.S. oil majors are concerned and any other oil companies are concerned, I mean, it's going to be a while before they can assess the stability of Venezuela.
Yes, I mean, the only company that can, you know, take advantage, even just if the U.S. gives them a little bit of more flexibilization of the sanctions is Chevron, because they produce 25% of Venezuela's oil today, and they are the only ones exporting, actually, license to the United States. But any other company would have to, wait to see what type of contract they're offered and, you know, if the situation is stable enough for them to invest. It's a very different situation for any other company that is not Chevron.
But also, we've got an oversupply of oil anyway. They're saying, you know, in 2026, there's too much oil on the market. The price of oil is going to be depressed. So it's not like there's a real demand or a need anyway at the moment.
Yes, there is oversupply of oil. In fact, the price of oil should be lower if it wasn't for the geopolitical tensions and sanctions. That doesn't mean that still at this level of price of oil, investing in Venezuelan oil is still profitable. Even if it goes down to $40, Venezuelan oil is cost competitive. But as you point out, it will take time. It will probably take years before a significant amount of production comes out of Venezuela's fields.
Okay. Dr. Francisco Monaldi, thank you for your time. Good to get your take on the latest on that. But the ongoing geopolitical tensions have seemingly not deterred investors from buying stocks and shares. In fact, it was a record breaker on global markets on Monday, the Dow Jones closing at a record high. Also, the FTSE 100 in London closed above 10,000 points for the very first time. And that follows big gains seen in Asia, in Japan and in South Korea as well. So why are we seeing such a rally at this point? Let's talk to financial markets commentator Susanna Streeter. Morning, Susanna. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good morning, Sally.
Well, it would seem that, you know, the markets have not got the January blues at all. Quite the opposite.
Yes, it certainly does look that way. And I think what you're seeing is some relief that this action, it doesn't look like it's going to lead immediately to a bigger geopolitical conflict. So I think you're seeing partly a bit of a relief wave after this shock, but also you're seeing gains in specific sectors which are expected, for example, the oil sector, the energy sector, expected to benefit over the longer term from the US action in Venezuela. But on the other side, on the other hand, Sally, you are also seeing this rising concern about overall geopolitical risk. Because look at the FTSE 100. Those shares that saw some of the biggest gains were defense contractors. The expectation that governments, particularly the United States, will keep spending big on military hardware if more skirmishes of this kind are to be expected, while other countries boost their military defences. And also you're seeing mining stocks rise again off the back of a higher gold price and silver prices as investors flood into what are considered to be safe havens amid all of this uncertainty.